Grasshopper New Media presents.
Ladies and gents, it's the Great Big Small Business Show, starring Becky McRae.
Welcome to the Great Big Small Business Show. I'm Becky McRae. Today's topic is finances. Is everyone excited? Well, let me just reassure you that that's okay. Finance isn't everyone's favorite topic. In fact, when I announced this topic to our team of experts, we grumbled too. So, we're all together on this. We do have three great segments for you today, one from Ben Yoskovich, one from Steve Rusinski, and one from me. I get to go first this week. And so I'm going to start with some of the things that I have learned through teaching hundreds of small business owners in classes and in consulting on how to keep their computer accounting records for their business. Let's start with how you would define what would be good financials versus bad financial record keeping. I like to use Jim Rohn's definition of success and failure as an analogy. Rohn defines success as a few simple disciplines repeated every day. And he defines failure as a few simple mistakes in judgment repeated every day. So you can see how this applies to finances. If you're doing the right things and you're doing them every day consistently, then you're going to have good financial record keeping. On the other hand, if you're making the mistake of not taking care of your finances, and you're doing that every day, then you are compounding that mistake, and you are sending yourself down the path towards a big problem. Now, the good news is that you can turn that around at any time by changing your mistakes in judgment to good judgment. If you will take the disciplines on and make a change in how you're handling it, you can turn around your current situation. So I have three simple areas that I want to cover that are part of the simple disciplines that you need to do to maintain great financial shape. You need to keep good records. You need to deal right with the complex tasks that you face. And then you also need to be disciplined. So let's start with just keeping records. If you're the kind of person that listens to podcasts and are listening to us today, then you're probably reasonably computer savvy. And so you're probably looking for a computer accounting solution. The one that I am most familiar with is QuickBooks. And like I said, I have taught it to hundreds of business owners. Some of the things that I like about QuickBooks are that there is a preset for many different types of businesses, and that the preset includes a special help file for your industry. So if you're looking to use QuickBooks for a medical office, there's a whole help file on how different medical offices use QuickBooks. If you're doing a plumbing service, there's an article on that. If you're doing catering, there's probably an article on that also. In addition to the help file that includes examples and walks you through a lot of this, are the presets they set up the chart of accounts, or the basic structure of everything. QuickBooks knows that if you're dealing with catering, then you're going to need to invoice clients and that you might need to issue estimates. And they've learned this, the Intuit company, because they've been doing this for a long time and they've gathered a lot of information on small businesses. So that's one of the reasons that I used QuickBooks in my own businesses and one of the reasons that I taught it a lot. Now, the alternative to that is just keeping paper records. Now, honestly, I have kept paper records for my businesses before when it made sense. If the business is not terribly complex, it has simple, basic record-keeping requirements, you can do it on paper. If you do that, you probably would like to talk to a bookkeeper or an accountant, hire a professional, and have them help you with the initial setup of what you're going to do, what is your system, so that you can be disciplined and do it on a daily basis. Now, the other part of keeping records is to know what paper you need to keep. What paper records, after you buy something, what do you need to keep? After you pay a bill, what do you need to keep and where do you keep it? So, in order to know what it is, You just need to ask. So you need to find a professional accountant, especially one who deals all the time with income tax matters, because income tax accounting is quite a specialty in and of itself. I'm very lucky in that my mother is a specialist in income tax accounting, so I am able to take all my questions straight to her. You need to find someone you can trust equally as well. Now, once we've gotten past number one, keeping records, then we'd come up to the second one, which is those complex tasks. And that includes things like payroll and dealing with income taxes and any other taxes that you have to file with the government. Payroll, you can handle a whole myriad of different ways, but you want to figure out exactly what's going to work best for your business. If you don't have any payroll, terrific, problem solved. If you do have some payroll, you can either handle it all yourself. You can use one of the computer systems, including QuickBooks or some other system. There's several online systems now. Or you can do what one small business owner that I ran into does, and that is that he outsources the whole thing. He takes the list of hours for all of the people that works for him, takes that, hands it over to the bookkeeper, and the bookkeeper figures it all, gives him the total for everything combined. He writes one check to the bookkeeper, and he's finished. That's the best use of his time. He needs to spend his time generating more income. If that's true for you, then feel free. Definitely outsource those things that you need to not be doing. So that brings us to number three, which is to be disciplined. And maybe this feels like the hardest thing, but you cannot let your record keeping tower up on you. If you have the leaning pile of paper that you're having to face put into the computer or put into your record system, sit down and do 1 hour of it at a time and whittle it away until you get it under control. Because it's the discipline of handling it every day or every week, depending on your business, that will keep you out of that situation. If you come to the end of the year and you don't have records, then you're just making yourself a huge problem for later. The other part of being disciplined is to welcome those problems. What I mean by that is you want to find financial problems before they grow and get out of hand. So it's important, no matter what your system is, that you run regular, meaningful reports. And so if you have trouble with collecting in your business, then maybe the report that you need to run most often is called Aging Accounts Receivable. And if you're not sure what the most important reports to your business would be, then you want to spend a little money and invest some time talking with a professional bookkeeper or accountant to find out what are the important reports for your business. What should you be monitoring? They can help you figure out what those things are, what are reasonable numbers to see, and what indicates trouble. So welcome problems, because that means you're catching them early. So the three disciplines that I've talked about are, first of all, to keep those records. Number two, you want to make sure that you take care of those complex tasks correctly. And number three is to exercise your discipline and deal with your financial matters promptly. So I hope that what you will take away from this is that you will implement Jim Rohn's definitions of success and failure, and that you will take a few simple disciplines and repeat them every day. Our next segment, we're going to turn to Ben Yoskovich. And Ben is doing something a little different with his introduction. He is going to serenade us on bootstrapping. Ben!
Money, 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 money. Okay, I'll stop singing, I promise. But today we're talking about money and finances, and sometimes I just can't help myself. In particular, today, I want to talk about bootstrapping your business. What does that mean? Well, at Wikipedia, they have the following definition. Bootstrapping means starting and operating a business with little or no money or assistance from outside investors. Translation? In my mind, what they should really say is starting a company where you're desperate to make a living for yourself and or get insanely wealthy off the next big idea, but you're broke, you have no money to invest, unless you sell your childhood comic book collection. That's my definition. All right, maybe it's not quite that extreme, but bootstrapping is certainly not easy. And it's a reality for tons of business owners, startups, and people thinking about starting businesses. So, here's my list of 7 things to remember when bootstrapping. Number 1, Track every single dollar spent. Maybe that's self-evident, but you'd be amazed at how many entrepreneurs and small business owners aren't ultra careful about tracking money. For example, how many of us actually have budgets for our personal expenses? Exactly. Number 2, force yourself to justify every dollar spent. Purchases need to make a positive difference to the bottom line, so they need to do something like increase productivity or help generate more revenue, or something that's justifiable to the success of the business. If you buy a beautiful 19-inch LCD screen for your computer because it looks cool, you're in trouble. Number 3, don't spend money as soon as you get it. Unless the bill collector is crashing down your door with two guys named Guido, hang on to your money as long as you can. Even if you eventually have plans for it, wait a couple of days. Let it sit in your bank account. Feel good about having that money before you spend it. Number 4, cash flow is king. When bootstrapping, there's almost nothing more important than cash flow. Without cash, you're toast. 5, network, network, network. Networking not only isn't expensive, often it's actually free. And more importantly, it's key to meeting people that could be helpful to your business. 6. Find resources online to help. Since you're already listening to the Great Big Small Business Show, I guess you've already taken care of this. Ultimately, there are tons of resources online for every possible business in every possible industry. And many of those resources, yep, they're free. And finally, number 7, be prepared for the long haul, but enjoy the challenge. If you make millions quickly, good on you. But for most of us, that's just not the case. For most of us, there are lots of long hours and hard work ahead. Blood, sweat, and all that good stuff. But through all of it, remember, enjoy it. Enjoy the challenge. That's it for me today. I hope I've helped provide some valuable tips on bootstrapping and getting your business rolling. You can reach me by email at byosko@gmail.com or visit my website at www.instigatorblog.com.
Thanks, Ben. Next up is Steve Rusinski, and Steve is going to share with us some innovative financing methods that he has come across lately. Steve?
Hi, this is Steve Rusinski of the Small Business CEO weblog, which you can find at www.smbceo.com. Today's topic is financial management. My take on today's topic around financial management is to comment on just a bit on two alternative financing methods that I have discovered over the last few months. According to the Small Business Administration, inadequate or ill-timed financing is a major reason for small business failure. It only makes sense, then, that every entrepreneur should have their sensing radar open to alternative financing methods. The first I want to talk about is obtaining cash advances against future customer credit card transactions. One such firm providing this service exclusively to businesses is AdvanceMe, Inc. You can find them at the URL www.advanceme.com. With a simple swipe of a customer's credit card, you can keep your working capital advance up to date, since the rate at which they lend and they collect from you is determined by a realistic evaluation of your company's prior monthly credit card receipts. The credit collection process is predictable and easy. They have a unique credit scoring system which provides a customer-friendly approach to qualification. When most lending institutions seek to screen out potential applicants, they work hard to screen in qualified business applicants. The response time is fast and approval can be done in just a few days. This may be something worth checking out if your business has tried bank and traditional financing and found it unavailable to you. The second alternative financing option is to use one of the new people-to-people funding services like Prosper. You can find Prosper at www.prosper.com. Prosper is America's first people-to-people lending marketplace. Was created to make consumer lending more financially and socially rewarding for everyone. The way Prosper works is intuitive to people who have used eBay. Instead of listing and bidding on items, people list and bid on loans using Prosper's online auction platform. People who want to lend set the minimum interest rate they're willing to earn, and bid in increments of $50,000 to $25,000 on loan listings they select. Borrowers create loan listings for up to $25,000 and set the maximum rate they're willing to pay a lender. Then the auction begins as people who lend bid down the entrance rate. Once the auction ends, Prosper takes the bids with the lowest rates and combines them into one simple loan. Prosper handles all the ongoing administration tasks, including loan repayment and collections on behalf of the matched borrower and lenders. If obtaining capital is critical for your business right now, you might want to check out these two unique, reputable services for help. I'm Steve Rosinski of the Small Business CEO. Until next time, have a prosperous week.
Thanks, Steve. Just as I was putting together our podcast this week, I got a submission from Ted Demopoulos, and it is absolutely too good to leave out. So I'm very happy to have this little rant, well, submission, well, really wonderful real-world advice from an experienced business person. Ted.
Hello, this is Ted Demopoulos, Demopoulos Associates. This week we're talking about finances, money, and small business. Nobody's favorite topic. So, pardon me while I rant. I want to talk about why you are not as smart as you think you might be. That certainly includes me. And secondly, how to avoid the bladder principle. First of all, if you're successful, maybe you're just lucky. Right place, right time. Like me, as a high-tech consultant during the internet boom. Everything I touched turned to gold. Until maybe 2000. But oh, you think, this doesn't apply to me. I run a successful barbershop, liquor store, or cutting-edge whatever. I'm a successful entrepreneur. It's up, up, up for me. Well, in the words of Jamie, my 6-year-old son, you are a dummy head. No offense, I'm often a dummy head too. Hey, maybe you're just lucky. Maybe you're good and lucky. It's a popular combo. Even if you're great, maybe you'll become unlucky. Like the internet boom may crash. Hint, it already did. Maybe North Korea will do something dumb and the world economies will slump. Maybe road construction will start in front of your store and business will tank. Like at my favorite Chinese restaurant, 6 months of construction and going. Maybe hats will be outlawed, like fezes were outlawed in Turkey. And your haberdashery, which I think is a hat store, will dissolve. Or maybe, like at my favorite Irish pub, where they outlawed smoking. Yeah, it was a town-wide ban. You might say, yeah, that's a good thing. Not for the owner, because 150 feet away across the border, smoking was still allowed. And about half the patrons just moved down the road to the other bar that was nearby. So lean times may be ahead. Be financially conservative. But what's wrong with being positive? Rich business people, entrepreneurs, take chances. That's how we grow. Well, positive is good. Enthusiastic is good. But don't let success go to your head. What goes up can come down. That includes everything. The stock market, real estate, skirt lengths, you name it. Anything can come down. But no, it still doesn't apply to me. I'm diversifying, you say. I'm taking profits from my goat farm and investing them in other businesses. Brain surgery, that's an up-and-coming business. Asphalt, I think paving's a great place to be. And dental consulting, yeah, dentists need help. Just as an example, Well, success in one field doesn't necessarily translate to success in other fields. You might be a great camel jockey, but that doesn't mean you can successfully race a dromedary of a different color. There's also only so much time in your life. Can you run multiple businesses successfully, even if everything else is perfect? So what am I saying? 1. Don't count on uninterrupted success. Even Donald Trump went bankrupt. Secondly, avoid the bladder principle. What's the bladder principle, you say? Well, it states, the more money you have, the more pressure there is to piss it away. So, be financially conservative. Be positive. Take chances. But don't bet the farm. Until next week, this is Ted Demopoulos. Hey, I had a good week. I think I'll go buy a much better microphone.
Thanks, Ted. And thank you for listening. If you have any comments or questions, or a question on any kind of small business, feel free to call our listener line at 206-666-3768, or you can leave your comment on our website at www.gbsbs.com or greatbigsmallbusinessshow.com. We're adding new audio and text features on our site, so let us know what you think. We do have a listener question from Vince this week on profit versus nonprofit structure, so listen in for a bonus segment later in the week. Thanks for listening, and have a terrific week.